We're joined by Lori Lightfoot on the Celebrity Hotline here, and Lori is the police board president, and there's a lot going on in your little world there too, Lori. I certainly wouldn't want to change jobs with you right now. I feel like I've got the better situation happening here.
a lot of difficult things to be weighing right now.
Yeah, a lot. Let's start with a couple of them. First of all, just before we even get started on anything, because there has been this contretemps in the newspapers this week about you and whether or not you want to run for mayor. There was an allegation that you left the door open during a speech on Tuesday night and you closed it shut on Wednesday. Would you be interested in running for mayor in 2019?
No.
All right. There we go.
Got it out of the way.
That's a certainty. That's 100% right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
The same thing I said the other night.
All right.
The no doesn't translate to certain leaders.
It doesn't always translate. Thank you for clearing that up. But I also want to ask you, Lori, I mean, like Ro said, there's a lot on your shoulders right now to make the police more accountable, bring reforms to a system that a lot of people feel has failed us. And do you feel today that we should be more trusting of the process? Or is there just a long way to go? Where are we now? Bring us to where you believe we are as a city and right now.
Well, look, the reality is that the issues and the challenges that the police department and other aspects of the law enforcement infrastructure in Chicago have, there were issues that are of long standing that frankly were decades in the making, and they're not going to be solved overnight. I think the thing that will give people confidence is if we keep an open and transparent dialogue and honesty, frankly, one about what the issues are, that we give some validity and corroboration to the complaints that people across the city have had in the way that they believe the relationship with the police is or is not working in their lives, and that if we move forward together to find solutions. This can't simply be, blame the community, blame the police. There's a lot of anger, frustration all the way around. But the only way we're going to actually make real progress is if people come together in good faith, take a couple steps in the other person's direction, and figure out where we can find common ground. And even if we can't agree, that we can agree that the dialogue and the communication is essential.
So when you say decades in the making and won't change overnight, is that a reference to procedure, policy, personnel? Where does that fall?
Keep going.
Okay, all the above.
and I don't mean that jokingly. I mean, if you look at, let me answer the question from two perspectives. And let's talk about the relationship between the community and the police first. It didn't just happen in the wake of the Laquan McDonald video release that somehow the community felt like they were not being treated respectfully by the police. If you listen and talk to folks across the city, particularly people from communities of color, they feel like this has been going back decades, generations. Somebody even put it to the time that there was a great influx of African Americans into the city from the South in the 1950s and 60s. So these are long-standing issues that at different times that we've been in different places on the spectrum, and certainly in there have been times when the relationships have been much better than they are now. But like any relationship, if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't invest energy in it consistently, it'll plateau or worse.
Well, what do police need to do? It's an excellent point, Lori, but what do police need to do to invest in the relationship, and how do we enforce is the wrong word, but how do we encourage investment by the community with police? I mean, that's not even, I'm not even sure in more stable neighborhoods in the city and in the world that citizens think, well, I gotta really invest in police. I mean, it's kind of a one-way street, isn't it?
I don't think it's a one-way street. I think it's got to be a relationship that goes both ways. It's a symbiotic relationship. For example, communities aren't going to be safe if the police aren't doing their job effectively and doing it in a way that's respectful and listening to the people in the community. Communities are going to suffer. Similarly, police are not going to be effective in doing their job if they don't have the support of the members of the community who view them as a legitimate force.
Right. Respect.
So it really goes both ways. And there are big things that can be done, and I think some of that has started. I think Superintendent Johnson has made presenting himself as somebody who understands and gets the importance and vitality of that relationship. But it can't just be the superintendent alone. that work has to be done in such a way that literally down to the officer on the beat, he or she understands and gets that respect given is going to be respect that's returned in kind, that their job is actually going to be more effective if they have those kinds of relationships. But that takes a lot of training and, frankly, tone at the top. Mm-hmm. I said this in talking to the city council yesterday. The one of the most critical linchpins in all of this are the sergeants, the supervisory level that touches more officers on a day-in, day-out basis than anybody else. The superintendent needs to set the tone for sure. But if those sergeants don't get it and they don't embrace the new reality, then we're still going to struggle in the relationship in terms of the things that the police can do. And from a community standpoint, it's a tough ask to say to the community, look, I know you feel like you personally have been abused and mistreated by the police, but put all that to the side and, try to trust them. That's not going to happen. But what we do have to do is keep looking for opportunities to confidence build with members of the community so that, and frankly, to demystify the police so that community can see the police as the individuals that they are, the hardworking people who come to a job, very difficult job every day, trying to get it right. If we can replace those realities and those anecdotes and those examples, if we can replace, put those, I think, images in the forefront of people's minds, I think it's going to help be a very positive counterbalance to the negative images of the police that are out there. But it is a big job. It's something that has to be done diligently, and it can't be done by the superintendent alone.
All right. Well, we're talking to Lori Lightfoot, who is the president of the police board. And, Gary McCarthy, the former superintendent, has been doing a lot of media, and he's mm-hmm. got this philosophical assertion that he's making now about one of the big issues that's happening, not just in Chicago, but around the nation, in terms of police and community misunderstanding. And it's this notion of noncompliance, that if police pull up behind and, turn on their lights and they pull up behind to make a traffic stop, that people leave, run, rabbit away from them. And the chase ensues. Or if they ask them, they give them a lawful order and then they choose not to do it. And so that is what's resulting in a lot of the shootings and the violence here that is coming from the police toward the community. It's because they're not listening to what the police are telling them to do. What do you make of that?
Well, I can't say that I've studied everything that the former superintendent McCarthy has said, but I'm not sure that's exactly what he's been saying. But let me take that narrative. Look, as in law enforcement, you're taught that if somebody runs, they're guilty, right? There's plenty of case law on that. The argument, and when I was a prosecutor, that I used to make, that the flight is evidence of guilt. Mm-hmm. But if we listen closely to what we're hearing from people in the neighborhoods, and particularly young men of color, what they're saying is, when I see the police, I run because I fear for my safety. And whether that's true or not, that is the perception, that is the viewpoint, and that's something, frankly, that the police have to understand and take into consideration as they are thinking about how they conduct themselves on a day-to-day basis in those neighborhoods. And yeah, I don't think that people should be abusive of the police, but by the same token, and I'm reminded of, frankly, the Sandra Bland incident that we know was captured on videotape, it is absolutely a fair question. When you are stopped by the police, when you're walking down the street, doing what you think is your own business, doing nothing wrong, or when you're driving your car, and again, you're stopped, and you don't think that you've done anything wrong, it is a fair question as a citizen of this country to be able to say, officer, what did I do wrong? And the response shouldn't be abusive, using foul language. There should be a justification for the stop. The law says that if you stop someone, you need to have reasonable suspicion to do that. And it is our rights as citizens to be able to ask, why am I being stopped? Why am I being impeded in the progress of my walking, my driving, my car? That's a fair question.
I want to ask. Go ahead.
I don't want to oversimplify the issue, but I don't think it's a blanket, hey, when the police stop you, you've got to be fully compliant. You don't have a right to say anything.
Lori, I want to ask you a little more about that, because you mentioned training on the side of the police department.
Yes.
And how more of that's needed. I think it's fair to say that the Laquan McDonald case was a tipping point in this city about opening up discussions of transparency, police accountability. We all know now that Jason Van Dyke has been charged with murder. We'll let the courts decide what happens there. But it was only after the city paid out the family $5 million, denied the public the access to proper information or even accurate information, denied requests for the video. We all know the history there that brought us to where we are. And you have to think that's indicative of decades of doing that exact same thing. Now Superintendent Eddie Johnson recommends the firing of 7 officers. But I think if you sat down with each of those officers, and I know you've had discussions with countless officers over your time serving in on boards and part of the policing of the police kind of situations, they might say, well, we were doing what we're told, that we're told to, there's a brotherhood within the police department, and we're told to do this. And if you don't, be damned. That they absolutely, we've had an officer come on this very show talk about the code of silence. When she tried to report wrongdoing within the department, she became the victim. She became the one who was ostracized. And I don't know what you do to change that. Does that come down to training?
Well, I think it's even a bigger issue than that. And frankly, I've heard similar things. I've heard similar things that officers feel like they're pressured by their supervisors to, you know, use certain language in reports and so forth. I think we have to really step back and think about, you know, who is it that we want to be part of this police force? What values do we want them to have? And if we're very clear about those things, then it's going to inform the way in which we recruit. It's going to inform the way in which we hire people, how we train them in the academy. It's also going to inform the way in which we think about the roles and responsibilities of supervisors, how we recruit them, how we ensure that the people who are responsible for the vast majority of our officers, not for just from, you know, the crime statistics and what they do and their performance on the street in that category, but holistically about taking care of them and making sure that they're being trained and instructed the right way every single day.
All right,
we've got to step back and really think about those issues as well.
Lori Lightfoot, thank you very much. Appreciate your
thank
time.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
My pleasure.